I simply titled this message, Working and Cooperating with God. Elon, good to see you again. I'm glad you're here. Yeah. He was a blessing and a real inspiration at the Bible course. We thank God for that. Working and cooperating together with God. Have you ever thought of how a city like Winnipeg or any other city is run? Everything has to run like a spoked wheel. It just has to fit together. Otherwise, if there's an interruption, it can really cause chaos. For example, if we would put our trash out and week after week and month after month, nobody would pick it up, we'd get pretty frustrated, right? Or if there were no supply to electricity, and we all need this cooperation as a society. The roads, and there's expectations, there's even laws and signs that tell us about the laws that keeps us in check, that everything can go smoothly. So society, the government expects us to cooperate with the laws. But there's another side to life, and that is that people of our society are willing to spend and put much more effort into physical needs and well-being than into spiritual well-being. Now, I think this is a real dilemma in our time, that a majority of people don't go to church Sunday morning because they say this is the only day I can catch up on some rest. Is it really the only day? For a lot of people, oh yeah, this is the only day for me. Well, why do you live a life like that? The decision is ours whether we want a day of rest or not, or a day of worship. And the problem we face, and the problem we as pastors face, is that people are simply not interested in church. And the littlest bit, any difference, anything that ticks them off, where they're a little bit uncomfortable, they right away leave church and say, it's not for me. Why is it like that? You're not like that in other areas of life. Your attitude in other areas is totally different. Why spiritually, why when it comes to church, be so super sensitive to demanding to have all your needs met when only God can meet all of our needs? That's a very important thought. We're not quick to give up on physical comforts and privileges so that we would gain more spiritually. In other words, we usually don't want to pay a price, not with money, but pay a certain price to gain more spiritually. It's very hard for us to fast and pray, and I used to fast a lot more too than I do now, because it's difficult to fast. It's really a sacrifice. You know, you skip meals and your body is just, you know, like a weed that hangs its head, and you have no energy, and it's difficult. And then you try to read your Bible when you fast, and you see all these steaks and all these hamburgers in the Bible, and then when you read about the sweet-smelling aroma in God's nostrils, you know, that the psalmist talks about, you can just smell the meal. It's hard. But are we willing to sometimes give up physical comforts? Are we willing to come to church on Sunday morning when we don't really feel like coming? A lot of people say, no, if I don't feel like coming on Sunday morning, because it's optional, it's voluntary, it's, you know, there's no boss, and the pastor, who cares what he says? You know, he always talks all kinds of stuff. So you can become very careless. And I think it's for all of people, all society, our neighbors included, everybody, it's important to finally come to the conclusion that, hey, maybe I should go back to church. Maybe I should make a commitment. Maybe I should, for a change, care for my own spiritual life, that it would be healthy and I would feel better in general. It's very important. It's important that we think that way. In the body of Christ, we need to also exercise all the gifts of the Spirit. We need to exercise the gift of prophecy. Prophecy is proclamation of the Word of God, proclaiming, teaching the Word of God. We need to exercise the gift of teaching, teachers, of serving, the gift of serving, organizing, the gift of giver, a giver. Is someone who gives of his time and resources for the kingdom of God. We need to labor together, adding and multiplying in a combined effort. That is God's will. In our text chapter, Paul addresses the problem of division in the church, and he admonishes us and the church to pull together to build God's kingdom on the one and only foundation, which is in Jesus Christ. And he said we need to cooperate with God. We need to focus on what is the purpose that we're here. We're here to help build the kingdom of God. We're not here to just enjoy ourselves and to take in everything for ourselves, to live for ourselves, but to live for God and for his kingdom. That is God's message, and that is the message of the gospel. So on this Labor Day weekend, I want to talk about a little bit about the spiritual labor that you and I need to focus on. And when we hear labor, we hear pain. Because that's actually what labor means. Labor means painful effort. When a child is born, the mother is in labor. She is laboring to bring a child into this world, and there's pain involved in that. And we don't like that. We don't like it when the spiritual work becomes painful, when it becomes challenging. Now, we know that most people live or try to live life without God because they believe that it's too hard or too impossible or not necessary to live life with God. Some people attempt to satisfy their conscience by being religious enough to get by, just enough to get by. Why would we even bother with that? Living without God means that we live without purpose, without hope, without peace, without love, without joy. And that's a miserable life. The reason we need to live for God and with God is that we all will get or come into situations where we need a miracle. And that will happen in everybody's life. When a young couple starts out, the Bible says, and this is like that the Apostle Paul, yeah, let them get married, but they will suffer. That's what he says. Getting married means you enter a life of suffering. That's what Paul says. He wasn't even married. Maybe that's why he wasn't married, but he says that. It's in the gospel. Man, I mean, I don't tell that to couples because I don't want to break up their engagements. But living a life, we all will come. No, I don't want to say that single life is better. I mean, just talk to, and you who are single here, I greatly respect you. And I want to tell you as single people, you are valued by God the same as if you were married and had a family. There's no difference. You're not, you know, here and the others are here. No. God wants to bless you the same as everybody else. But we need a miracle here and there in life. There are difficult situations that we just seem to get into a dead end, and there's crises that come up in life where we need God. And that's when life with God pays off, if you want to put it that way. That's when it's worth it. That's when God wants us to cooperate with Him. And God is like this. I will send you crises. You will experience crises. God doesn't even have to send crises. Life does that to us in this world. But when the crises come, God wants to be there and say, will you cooperate with me and make the best out of this crisis? Will you cooperate with me and we can make this a beautiful thing and something beautiful will unfold out of this crisis and you will be better and my glory will be in your life more than ever before? Are you willing to cooperate? That is God's desire, because the Bible says here that we are God's workmanship. And God desires that we are this pliable clay in His hands. Now, you know, when He presses that one area so much, oh boy, that's painful. Have you ever been to a masseuse or chiropractor and they press on that one area and ow, you can just scream. You didn't know that there was this tender thing in the back. But that's the area they usually focus on. That's the areas where God focuses on. Sometimes where it hurts the most. And He puts His thumb on there and says, you know, this needs to be massaged until it doesn't hurt that much anymore. That's kind of how God operates. And we need to cooperate and say, Lord, I know this hurts, but I know I have to go through this. Now, I'm preaching to myself here, but the Bible says, except the Lord build a house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman watches in vain. So in other words, all our efforts and all our works that we do and the things that we try to accomplish, the striving, if God doesn't build it, it's in vain. And one of the biggest things that I fear, not fear, but I'm concerned about is that at the end of my life, I look back and say, you know, I tried to do so many things and, you know, God could only do a little bit. I want God to do a lot more. And I've often prayed, Lord, let me not be in your way. Do more in my life. Not that I want to be lazy, but I want His will. I want His work to be done in my life because I'm part of this workmanship that God has in His kingdom. And I want Him to use me. I want Him to use me more and better. First, the quality, and then the quantity, too. Many times we want to take things in our own hands. We want to just do it our own way. And like someone says, well, on this, I don't have to ask God. Well, there are things where we don't have to specifically ask God, you know, should I eat pizza or should I eat salad? You know, we don't have to ask God about that. But what I mean is something that is valuable, something that He wants us to do in His kingdom. That's important that we ask the Lord about that. One of the reasons the church in Corinth could not achieve its potential was that they did not see nor understand the correlation between man building and God building. They thought, okay, God builds His own thing and we do our own thing. No, God wants us to cooperate with Him. He wants to build His kingdom through us. It's a big responsibility. And the question that I have here is, why are we often so unwilling to yield at times. God wants us to be willing workers with him. We are laborers together with God, Paul says here. Together with God. God reached out. He saved us. He made us his children. He put us in his kingdom. He put us in his church. And now he wants our talents. He wants our lives. He wants to use us to his glory. Because that's what makes him joyful. That gives him joy. See, the cause of lack of cooperation is unbelief. We often can't believe that. Can God actually use me? Can God use a little bit, the little bit that I do? Can he actually use that? You better believe it. Every little bit helps. But then the other thought here is, and this is what Paul is also referring to indirectly, we need to work together with one another. Working together, cooperating with God, means that we work together as a team. That we are team players, as the saying goes. That we work side by side and are united in spirit, that we embrace peace amongst each other, and we know that we don't focus on each other's weaknesses, we focus on what we can do for the Lord. That is so important. As ministers, we are given the opportunity to serve God in various ways, and it is a privilege, and you and I, we're all, if you are in the church, if God has placed you in the church, he has placed you as a minister. And there's no exception. We say, well, you know, I don't have the gifts. I mean, the pastor has all the gifts, and God ran out of gifts by giving him all the gifts and nothing to me. That's not true. God has plenty of gifts for all of us, and we can serve him in our own capacities. In verse 5 and 6 in this chapter here, 1 Corinthians 3, Paul asked a question, what then is Apollos? Now, Apollos was a very skilled, masterful speaker. He was a polished speaker. He could articulate it so well that people just clung to him. They in fact, there was a faction in the Corinthian church that we want Apollos. We love his teaching. He was so gifted. Never mind Paul. I mean, Paul can, you know, he is second to us. And the other said, no, Paul, he has greater power, and he's an actual apostle. He's above Apollos, so we want to name ourselves after Paul. And Paul says, it's all wrong. And this is why he asked, what then is Apollos? What is Paul? Servants through whom you believed. As the Lord assigned to each, I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. Paul was saying here, it's not about me, it's not about Apollos, it's not about who did what and who contributed what. There's no acclamations, there's no plaques or any of that handed out, because everything is from God. God gives the increase. So as the work of evangelism, as the work of preaching gets done, it doesn't matter who it is, as long as it gets done and it's getting done God's way. That's the most important thing. We talked about during the Bible course amongst us instructors how some churches have names engraved in the pews, that this family has donated this pew and they're in memory of this and this person, or this family has donated a piano or an organ or a special thing. Some even have it on the pulpit. This family has donated the pulpit, and their names are engraved in there. not God's way. We don't read that in the New Testament. Doesn't matter who gave it. It's there. And it's supposed to be to the glory of God. I remember we had my pastor friend and mentor in Texas. He was 61 when he died. But when they built this addition to the church, he had someone come up to him one day and said, "I want to donate $10,000 to this building project." And that meant a lot of money at that time. "But I have one condition. I want you to engrave my name in one of these stones at the corner." And the pastor said, "No, thank you. We don't engrave any names." The only thing he wanted to engrave was, "To God be the glory," not to man. And this is what Paul refers to. What is Apollos? What is Paul? They were servants of God. And we thank God for servants. We thank God for Martin Luther. We thank God for Menno Simon. We thank God for the men and women that he has used in the past. But it doesn't matter the names. It doesn't matter the person. God used them, and God wants to use you and me the same way he wants to use us at this time in this situation that we're in. Together we work to complete the temple of God and to build his kingdom. You know, the spiritual foundation, the head of God's church, is none other than Jesus Christ. Not the Pope, not some founder of some religion. We don't name ourselves after any. Some people say, "Why do you name yourself Church of God?" And I asked a return question and says, "Why do you think we do that? Why do you name yourself after some other religious founder? Is your religious founder found in the Bible, in the New Testament?" No. There's no other foundation, no other name. Let's be clear with this. There's no other name given to us but the name Jesus Christ. He is and stays the solid foundation of his church. He is the Alpha, the Omega. He is the author and finisher of our faith. He is all and in all, and he should remain that. And we focus totally on him. We cooperate with him, and we work together to glorify him, because he's the one that gives the increase. He has said that he will build his church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. That's what it's about. Sorry to disappoint you. It's not about you or me. It's about his glory. That's what we want. That blesses us in return over and over and over. In verse 16, the same chapter here in 1 Corinthians 3, Paul asks this question, "Don't you know that you are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwells in you?" Don't you know that? Don't you remember that? Remember that you are the temple of God. The temple of God is not made by hands. It's made by the Spirit of God and consists of spiritual people that have a connection with Jesus Christ, that have been redeemed, that have been forgiven. That is the temple of God, and the Holy Spirit dwells in us. So this is what we focused on. Together we work to complete the temple of God, the building that God is building. We want to help. We don't want to hinder. We want to help. The work of the Lord is the greatest work that you and I ever may do. All other work has its benefits for this life, but the work of the Lord creates rewards that are for all eternity. And this requires us to leave and to cleave. Often this is meant for and applied to marriage. A man leaves his family and cleaves to his wife. But Jesus says, forsake all, leave things behind and follow me. Cleave to me, cleave to God's word. And sometimes looking back doesn't help much. And it can hinder us to do what is at hand. But when we look forward, when we look to the future, when we look to Christ, we can see, yes, I can cooperate with God and his workmanship. I can really see myself being a blessing to someone. But it involves a decision to give less attention to other concerns of this world. Sometimes we simply have to let go of some things that are temporary if we want to create fruit or bear fruit for eternity. Making the right choices comes easy when we consider the greatness of the work. And so if you consider to make a commitment to be in the kingdom of God, to work in the kingdom of God, and we need more workers, whether it's missionaries or teachers or preachers. We need God to give that calling. And once that calling is there, don't let it go. Pray about it. And be devoted to God. And one day the call will come. And when that door opens, you will know that God is in it. And then you go through that door because God was able to prepare you. I want to read a scripture here and then come to the conclusion. Philippians 2, verse 29 through 30. Receive him, the brother in Christ, therefore in the Lord with gladness, and hold such in reputation, because for the work of Christ he was near death, not regarding his life to supply your lack of service toward me. In other words, if you receive those that work for the Lord, you are already participating in God's work, God's kingdom. And then here's another scripture, 1 Corinthians 15, verse 10. By the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace, which was bestowed upon me, was not in vain. But I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God which was in me. Did you hear what Paul says here? It wasn't I that labored. He said it was the grace of God that God gave me. He cooperated with God and with one another, and he allowed the grace of God to be such a power in his life that he was able to bless others through the grace of God that was in him. 1 Timothy 1, verse 12, I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who has enabled me, for that he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry. Can God count you and me faithful to put us in some aspect of ministry? Think about it. Pray about it. Laboring together with God, cooperating with him, laboring together with God's people. Never spend your energy fighting another believer. It's totally a waste of time and energy. We don't fight each other. We fight against the spiritual darkness and forces, yes, but we want to labor together for the kingdom of God, because that's where the true rewards are. It will be worth it all when we see Jesus and he rewards us for everything, every little bit that we have done. You know that nothing is hidden from his sight. It will be rewarded. May God bless you and help us all. Amen. Let's stand for prayer.